Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Yes, as always, we like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُبَارَكٌ. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he doesn't have any partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation, I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the facilitator and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Udeen, who's absent tonight, but we have a very special guest facilitator that I'll be introducing in just a moment, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. I want to say to those of you who may be listening in for the first time, we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab, and we do invite you to participate. If you have a question or a comment, We ask that you do press 1, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that you have your hand in the air to ask a question or make a comment. Also want to say to those of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet, and know a lot of you are listening in by way of the Internet, if you want to be a part of this learning lab and you have a question or comment, you have to call in to the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. And we do invite you to be involved. This is an excellent opportunity to let your family members know. Also, your friends, your associates, your neighbors, and community members that the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is live and on air, IWDM radio. So please give them that number. I want to say, before I introduce our special guest facilitator, some staple things that we have used as a foundation for this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is that we use as the source, not the resource, but the source is Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That only means the prayers and peace be upon him, and the demonstration of the Quran in his lifetime, but also the tafsir, which means the clear explanation by Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. Those are the sources that we use in teaching this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Also, some other staple things that I'd like to give to you before we get into tonight's topic is that we have followed the lead of Imam W.D. Muhammad when he said, in definition is direction. In definition is direction. I've also added, and also correction. We've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we have as parents, and one of the big misnomers is that that is the role and responsibility of the mother. But I would dare say that we need to rethink that. That is the role and responsibility not only of the mothers, but also of the fathers. Also, another staple thing that we have established here, the role and responsibility of the parents is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, and their community. And having that mindset and disposition and understanding consciously what your role and relationship is to your children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. And outside of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, being the first teacher of all of humanity, both males and females, he's given the honor and distinction to the mother first and foremost to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And finally, we say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, and there's many interpretations of that, but she is the one that is supposed to give the foundational knowledge for our baby girls and our baby boys. And so with that being said, I want to introduce our very distinguished, esteemed special guest facilitator. He's been here several times here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. He really needs no introduction. You saw him many years on the syndicated program they had, and at one time was number one viewing, or even over Oprah Winfrey on television. That's the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. I'm honored to have him once again. Assalamu alaikum, Judge Joe Brown.
This is Rashid. He just called in. Marcus said he was at the pharmacy. He's running about 10 minutes late. He said continue the program. He'll be on as soon as he gets away from the pharmacy, okay? I'll let you know when he's in the queue.
Okay. So this is good. This will give us an opportunity to kind of catch up many, because I know quite a few of you listened in for the first time. And as I said, we use the Al-Quran as the source and the life example of the prophet in terms of demonstrating the Quran. You know, when we think about prophets and messengers actually living the revelation, the seal of the prophets was Prophet Muhammad. He's the seal of the prophets, and he actually lived the Quran. He's Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, not only because he received the word of revelation. That's indisputable. That's irrefutable. He's Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, because he delivered the message in the demonstration of the Quran. This is very, very important, and we do say that when you come to this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we ask that you bring an open mind, an open heart, and bring a pen and bring a pad, because you're going to get something. You're going to get some gold nuggets. You're going to learn something, and especially those of you who say that you are believers or Muslims in this way of life, and those of you who may not be Muslims, you will learn something in this learning lab in regards to parenting and family reconstruction, and that is the reconstruction of destructive family life. In addition to the sources that we have as a foundation here for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we have chosen to use an outstanding publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell. You can Google him. He has written a lot of outstanding books, publications over the years, dealing with parenting, dealing with family life, a lot of insightful things that he's shared in his publication. This particular publication attracted my attention years ago, and when Allah put it on my heart, as we are almost approaching 5.5 years in establishing this learning lab of Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and maybe I have time to give a little backdrop as to why I saw it to be very needed and necessary, and that what it is that we see that's happening in society today. It begins in the first social unit of human society, and that is family. It's a sacred institution that Almighty God has established. We find this in the Quran. You know, it's not anything I'm going to be saying that I can't take you to the Quran. As a student of Imam Muhammad, he said you always have to make connections, and he didn't speak to us unless he said he was speaking from the Quran. He says, I'll let you know when I'm just giving you something from myself. But we find it in Surah Al-Furqan, which is the 25th Surah of the Quran, and Ayah 54. Ayah simply means verse, but it also means the instructing sign. Allah says there that he has created the human being from water, and then he established the relationship of lineage. This is speaking about family and then marriage. And then he says, and that he, Allah, has power or influence over all things, which meaning that whatever it is that Allah has created and established, he has influence over what it should be, what it is that we should see it, and also the benefit in terms of the sacred institution of family. And there is a structure for family. Now, we have gone away from that structure, and so now we got all different types of family. We got all different types of gender. But we know that Allah is the one that has created the male and the female, and he has made us interdependent. And then the commitment to be able to come together in unison, both, you understand, being God conscious, the conscious of God's word, will, and way, and striving to live our life in that way and being committed, then the family life is supposed to start like that. It is a natural progression, a natural order in terms of establishing family life. In this publication, when you go to the publication, Dr. John C. Maxwell, we began this over about a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer ago, in looking at these 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. Something that I think that should be noted here, as you heard me say in the prelude, is that we should be thinking as parents in terms of raising our children up to become leaders, and not only to become leaders, but to establish leadership qualities in them. Now, I know this was not the perception of my mother, and I didn't have a father. I had a daddy, but I didn't have a father, so that wasn't in his perception. And I'm quite sure that many of you that are listening in, that wasn't in your parents' perception and probably not in your grandparents' perception, and perhaps also that it wasn't in your perception either. And we just did the best we could with what it is that we knew and we had. And oftentimes we just follow tradition. And for many of us, it was just to be able to sustain and maintain, to make sure that our children had a roof over their head, that they had food on the table, and they had clothes on their back. And oftentimes you would hear that when I was growing up, and I'm in the 70 Club now. So that was the priority. But there, as you heard me say, that there are other components of life. We are the nurturing and the cultivate, not only the physical, and all of those things that I said, food, clothing, and shelter being three essentials, but all of them are pertaining to the physical life. There's a moral life that has to be developed and has to grow, a moral consciousness, that is. There is an emotional life where emotional intelligence and emotional maturity has to come about when you actually are parenting and you understand the significance of parenting. There's a rational ability that our children have to come into in terms of being rational. And don't we see so many young people today doing very irrational things? But then we go back to the family life, we see that they may have parents that are very irrational, and emotionality replaces irrationality, and emotionality never is a good leader. This is very important to note. And we can go to the Quran where Allah says in 36:36 of the Quran that he brought up out of the earth everything in pairs, and also the male and the female in pairs, and those things that we don't see. So emotionality has to be paired with rationality. And the mate for both of them is morality. And don't we see that missing in today's society? Some of the things that are unthinkable that are actually happening in society today, there's no morality. And we can even go, it is said, to the mountain or to the political arena. And we see the same immorality that is there in terms of legislature, in terms of passing laws that don't even consider what God's laws are. So we see this in every segment of society. We see this in business ventures. We see it in the political arena. We see it in education in terms of what it is that they want to establish in the school and they want children to accept in terms of the LGBTQ, you know, in terms of accepting that way of life. And then it also becomes an influencing factor in our children's thinking. You know, we're going to talk about some of these things in terms of what the Honorable Judge Joe Brown, when he arrives, because he has some very profound views on some of these things that actually are prevalent in society today. And then what about the intellectual growth and development of our children? It was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be up on him, that said that Allah revealed to him that the aql is an Arabic term that's translated as the human brain, also translated as the intellect, the human intellect. But I should say, to put a qualifier in front of that, as the most useful and beneficial thing that Allah created. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But it is the obedient intellect There is an intellect that exists today, but it's not obedient. It's not obedient. So whatever it is that Allah has created in his creation, it is supposed to be obedient to the Creator. In other words, everything that we see in creation is the will of God, and it expresses God's will for its creation. There's no difference when we talk about the human being and we talk about the most useful and beneficial thing. Why is it the most useful and beneficial thing? Because Almighty God, Allah, created it to engage his natural creation. He created it to engage his natural creation. He created it to be able to extrapolate knowledge and beneficial things, which is a mercy to the human being. This is why you heard me say that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, is the first teacher. So obviously, if you're thinking along with that, you should be saying all praise is due to God, Allah, because he is the one that's teaching us through his natural creation. This is one way Allah teaches us. And when we think about all the subjects that we have, the very profound subjects that we have that's being taught in school, biology, zoology, botany, all of these things, even when it comes to mathematics, Allah has put it in the natural creation. The natural creation. This is where it's derived from. This is where it comes from. So Allah is teaching us in the natural creation, but he's also teaching us through revelation. As Imam Muhammad is a very scholarly, profound lecturer and teacher of this community and many in the world, these, he said, are the two means, the two hands. Hands are symbolic of control in terms of the controls that Allah has in terms of teaching his human creation and being able to nourish and supply the human intellect with all that they need for establishing their own society. For example, when we look into at the celestial bodies, when we look up in the sky, and especially when we look up at night, we see the sun, we see the moon, the stars. We know that there are other celestial bodies, the Milky Way, and other planets. But what we see in the sky, what it expresses is serenity. Serenity. As Imam Muhammad has taught us, that when we look at the celestial bodies, we see order, we see peace, and we see beauty. This is what Almighty God, Allah, wants us to have in our relationships, in our family relationships, in our marriage relationship, in our community relationship, in society at large, that we are to structure our relationships after what it is that we see in the heavenly creation, which is order, peace, and beauty. Now, when you think about that, you say, wow, boy, what if we could have that here on earth? Well, we can't. If we only, you understand, would have an obedient intellect and surrender our will to do what God's will is and to strive to live our life the way Almighty God, Allah, would like for us to live our way, then it would work and everybody would benefit from that. I want to go now to this publication. I said outstanding publication as we wait for our special guest facilitator, the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. And tonight the topic will be on vision and how important that is. And this is the last of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. But prior to getting to vision as an indispensable, a very needed and necessary quality, when we began this learning lab on this publication, the 21 indispensable qualities of a leader, we began with character. What better way to start is with character. Our young people need to have character. This is something that should be instilled in them very early on. And we're not talking about just any type of character. We're talking about moral character. That once upon a time, this was a given, you know, that character, moral character was to be established, and there would be a moral consciousness. If that was happening today, then some of the things that we see that's happening with young people coming from the family life and going out of the doors of the home life into the outer community and outer society, it would be reflected, and that moral consciousness has been established in the first social unit, which is family life. I'm just giving a little something to the judge here, so I hope I'm not boring you, and I want to say to those of you who just tuned in a little late, you are listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with your host, Mark Shaheed, and usually you will have Dr. Patricia Slaudin, but every first Wednesday she has another assignment on every first Wednesday. And I know some of you tune in and say, well, I want to hear from the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. I didn't tune in to hear from you, Mark Shaheed, but I'm just asking you to oblige me and listen to some of the things that I'm saying to you, and hopefully you will benefit from it. And at any point in time, please press 1 if you have a question or you have a comment. But anything that I said, I'm saying tonight, or I've said in the past, in regards to these indispensable qualities, I would love to hear your question and your comment. And even those persons that usually don't ever press 1, you know, I would love to hear from you. If what you're hearing is resonating with you, I would love to hear from you too. And you can do that by pressing 1. And those of you listening by way of the internet, you do have to call in to the studio. And that's 714-816-4673. Now back to
the hand raised, Mark.
Well, we do have a hand raised, so let's go to our caller and see what they have on their mind. They may have a question or comment. Rashid, who do we have?
Yes, sir. We have 254-415. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
You're live on IWDM Radio. Welcome to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You have a question or comment, and if you'd like to state your name and where you're calling from, you can do so. Welcome. Take yourself off of mute. You may be on mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes.
Oh, man, brothers. I love you, brothers. Thank God for you, brothers. There's only a few of us left here, the sons of God, on the planet today. Thank God for you all, okay?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank God for you.
Go ahead.
My name is the Honorable Alameen Muhammad.
Okay. You said Alameen? Honorable Alameen Muhammad?
I was born with that name. My mother gave me that name. Actually, she did not even give me that name. My mother was just a local woman in Dublin, Georgia. And my dad, he was a police officer in Dublin, Georgia, trying to start his career.
Mm-hmm.
And one night he met Lucius Farrad Muhammad. Mm-hmm. They came down, Lucius Farrad came down, and I respect him so much, even until this day, because he was one of the first preachers, I believe, in the Nation of Islam that was able to even speak out of the Bible, the Christian Bible, and also the Holy Quran.
Okay.
And he was just coming through. He wasn't there to come and see my mama and my daddy. He was just there to come through and pass through.
Okay.
And I give my righteous due diligence and my respect to Lucius Farrad Muhammad.
Okay.
Because when he came through, he didn't just stop through. He met my dad, a police officer, at the post office one day,
mm-hmm.
and they got to talking. And as they was getting to talking, and I was in my mother's womb at the time, and
mm-hmm.
also my brother was in my
mm-hmm.
mother's womb at the time. And when he came down, he said, "I'm gonna give that child a name."
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my name come from.
Okay.
It come from Lucius Farrad Muhammad.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. Well, we certainly thank you, brother, for calling in and sharing that with us. And I'm going to just ask you if you please continue to listen, and if you have any questions or comments pertaining to what we're talking about tonight, you can feel free to call back in. So thank you so much for sharing that, because we want to...
Don't mute me right now. Can I just say this one last thing before
well,
you mute
okay.
me?
Yes, we have
one last thing.
Okay, one last thing now.
Out of all of my learning away from the Nation of Islam, and I have come into life away from all religions and just to be with God alone, all of you are the only God, and all of you are gods on this planet. And the things that I see that's happening in us today, they know what they're doing. They're doing it to the sons of God. The sons of God is not in a religion. We came before religion, even in the days of Atlantis, even in the days of the immortalities, the tablets.
Okay.
We came before every man.
Okay, bro.
And now,
what I'm going
to
have to do, because we got to stay on course.
Oh, I just want to finish this one thing off, and then you
okay,
can
yeah, but, I give you quite a bit of time. I got a lot of information that I got to disseminate. This is Parenting and Family Reconstruction.
Yeah.
So we'll have a show where you can
come
on.
And we're trying to reconstruct each other as men.
Okay, so I got to go, so I'm going to give you the greetings. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Rashid, if there's nobody else, I want to continue with this. And we want to thank the brother for calling in. But as my grandmother always used to say, there's a time and there's a place for everything. This is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it is designed to teach what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And so I'm going to say to our radio listening audience, no disrespect intended, but I want questions pertaining to parenting, even parenting today in the 21st century, some of the issues and dilemmas that we are confronted with today in terms of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, and all of that. Questions pertaining to that, comments pertaining to that, in terms of our family life, not so much in terms of maybe, say, personal things that go back in that regard, but let's stay on track tonight, and tonight is about vision, and I do want to give some type of information, whether our esteemed guest, Honorable Judge Joe Brown, can actually be with us tonight or not. I'm hoping that he's okay. He does make an appearance. Before the caller, and we do ask the brother, and we thank Brother Muhammad for listening and calling, and hopefully he continues to listen, please press 1 and go out the queue. And we do invite you to call in, so I don't want you to think that I don't want you to call in. I do want you to call in, but I want to stay with what it is that I'm given here on the Learning Lab. This is very important, and I would dare say that some of our listeners have never heard this, and so they're trying to listen and process this information. We want it to be beneficial to you, and I would love to hear from you, even if you don't have a question, even if you don't have a comment. If what is being said is resonating with you, then I'd like to hear from you. And we'll conduct a little survey in a few minutes here. But as I said, this publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell, we began talking about character. That was the first indispensable essential quality of a leader. And you can imagine how important character is. How far would our children go without having character, and particularly moral character, having a moral compass, developing a moral consciousness. This is a part of our obligation, our responsibility to help develop a moral consciousness. Then we went from character to charisma. You'll never find a leader that's not charismatic. When we think about these indispensable qualities, of course, if we're Muslims, we would think about the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him. And we may even think about contemporary leaders such as Imam W.D. Muhammad when we think about these indispensable essential qualities. We may think about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
We do have the Honorable Judge Brown on now.
Okay. So we have the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. So just keep some of those things in mind. And so with no further ado, I want to extend the greetings of peace to you, my good brother and friend. We are awaiting your presence. As-salamu alaykum, Judge Joe Brown.
Wa alaykum wa salam.
How you doing today?
I am doing all right. I'm still breathing. I had a long line to wait in the pharmacy. It took me an hour and a half to get through and get everything squared away, but I was about to run out. So to stay on this side of the dirt, I thought I would wait it out. Sorry for the delay, but you know, you get old and stuff starts not working, and you can't go to the original equipment, and the warranty ran out. So you do what you have to do.
Yeah, I understand, Judge. You know, this is the time. This is the time that we living in. Some of these places that we go to, you almost have to pack your lunch just to get waited on. But still, it's an honor to have you on with me on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So, Judge, you know, I was just in the process of running down some of the things that we have covered here, and I'll just run them down real quickly, and then we'll get to what tonight's topic is, that, as I informed you, that we'll be talking about. We started out, you know, talking about these indispensable essential qualities of a leader, and if we don't have the mindset nor the disposition, not consciously recognizing as parents that we have an obligation, a responsibility to our children to raise them up to become leaders and also to help to establish leadership qualities in them. You know, first and foremost, for themselves, the first person you actually will lead is yourself. And then you're looking to lead your family and then your community. And God willing, that if as a parent you understand your conscious relationship and your responsibility to your children, it's a chance that you could actually have some world leaders that will emerge from that way of thinking in terms of your relationship to your children and your obligation that you have. And it's in that order: yourself, your family, your community, and then human society. And so we oftentimes don't, we don't start out with that way of thinking, but we can begin to start to reconstructing the family life and what it is that we produce if we begin to start thinking in that way. But you have to be thinking like a leader to raise leaders. I do believe that. So we started out with character, and then we moved from character to charisma, from charisma, commitment. That's a very essential quality. You're not going very far in life without being committed to something. From commitment to communication, very valuable, essential quality. From communication to courage. This oftentimes is not there, you know, because oftentimes we're discouraged in what it is, the environment that we're in, the courage. And then from courage to competence. No leader is a viable leader unless he become a competent leader. From competency, we move from competency, and then we gave a learning lab on discernment. Very, very important. You can't be a real leader. And, of course, we have the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. Any judge that's worth their salt have that quality of discernment, to be able to discern. And we want that to become a quality in our children, discernment. From discernment, we move from discernment to focus. A lot of times we don't reach the goal because we're not able to focus. from focus, generosity. Everything that is actually living in life, when you think about it and you study it, it is giving something back. And nothing that lives, you understand, is not giving something back, generosity. And then from generosity, we move to initiative. Initiative. I don't care how much you got or whatever it is that you have in terms of resources or what even potential. You have to have that quality of initiative. That's like get started. That's the fire, initiative. And then from initiative is listening. I wonder, Judge, how many people you had come before you that didn't listen. Didn't listen. They not only didn't listen to you first time in court, but you know they didn't listen to somebody that was trying to tell them something that would be good and beneficial for their life. So all leaders, all viable leaders, they are good listeners. And, of course, you understand when you become a judge, you have to be a good listener. I've never seen any professional person that can do their job well and be proficient, efficient at it without being a good listener. And then we move from listening to passion. This is something very important for our young people, you understand. When you get involved in something, our parents should be teaching them, when you make a choice, you should have a passion for that. You should have a passion. You should have a love for what it is. Don't do, like my grandmother said, do monkey see, monkey do. Have a passion for what it is. This is an essential quality. And then from passion, we move to the 13th one, which is positive attitude. You know, I had a teacher once that said, it is not your aptitude, it's your attitude that determines your altitude. How far you go in life? Well, if you have a negative attitude, you ain't going very far. But if you got a positive attitude, the sky's the limit for you. And then from positive attitude, we went to problem solving. Oh, this is a biggie, and especially for African Americans, this is the essential quality because you're going to be confronted with problems in life. Nobody gets out of life without being confronted with problems. We just talked about, you understand, what the Creator gave us in terms of the uncle, the most valuable creation, which is the human brain, the intellect, the intellect. It was made to solve problems. So problem solving. And then from that, we move to relationship. You can't be a viable leader unless you know how to relate to people. This is very important. In all walks of life, you got to be able to relate to people because they're going to walk in your life somewhere and sometime. And then from relationship, we move to responsibility. Now, if you ever want to see maturity, then you have to be able to accept responsibility. This is essential. And so when you see a child that is not fully developed and then say that they now are an adult, I will assure you, you will have seen a child that never learned responsibility. But this is a role, and this is a responsibility to instill that. And there's ways that in terms of which you begin to do it, you begin to do it from an early age. And from responsibility, security, very, very important. You know, if you're a leader, and nobody follows an insecure leader, you got to be a secure leader and have to instill that in your children. Part of the self-esteem is being secure in yourself and what it is that the Creator has given to you very uniquely. From security, it's self-discipline. Self-discipline, as I said earlier, the first person you lead is yourself. You don't have self-discipline, you always wind up in courts like Judge Joe Brown and other judges or what, because you couldn't discipline yourself. So you have to put back into a little prison or something and have to do what they told you and go what they showed you because you can't discipline yourself and you lose your freedom. With freedom comes responsibility. If you abuse one, then you lose the other. And from self-discipline, servanthood. We need to understand that in every walk of life, you should be one of servant, especially if you're given a position. You're not given a Honorable Judge Joe Brown has stated here, he's running for mayor 2023 in Memphis, Tennessee. He understands what servanthood is. Not like so many politicians, they get the position to be served. No, you are a servant. You are to serve the needs of the people. You are to assess their needs. And if you're really a servant, you understand, and you have that quality, it is of servanthood, not for certain self-serving purposes. And then from that, then we have teachability. And that's where we left off as teachability. So tonight, you understand, this is the 21st one, Judge Joe Brown, in terms of vision. And, you know, when you look at vision, many of our people, you understand, as we look at them in terms of many of the children that's turned loose and out into society don't have vision. They don't know where they come from. They don't know where they are. And they don't know where they're going. There's an old saying, there's three types of people: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. So, Judge, please, if you would, give us some insight in terms of how important is vision. And I know you've seen a whole lot that come before you down through the years. They didn't have any vision. And once again, welcome to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Judge?
Well, let's put it this way. I agree with what you said, but let's try to simplify this. If it hit the fan, would your leadership be able to take you through the danger competently? People fight with each other to be leaders, but the leader stands between the adversity or threat and the people he leads. On a different level, the leader foresees the threat and the danger.
Mm-hmm.
And he can avoid them. That's what leaders do. All of this other stuff is exemplary of the characteristics of a leader, but that's what a leader does. Now, let's take somebody that I don't have a whole lot of respect for, because the type of leadership simply consists of burning urge to hold hands with other guys and seeing we shall overcome someday, which is useless. Is that leadership? No, it's not, because it doesn't deal with the adversity. It puts us at the hands of the adversity, and it says beg, look pathetic, be a nice pet or domestic animal, and thump your rear leg when you get your belly scratched, wag your tail, and generally make everybody feel good that is oppressing you. Remember, the dog's master takes over from where other masters turn the wolf, who can fend for itself or himself, and turn it into a domestic animal that requires a master to open the kibbles and bits. So that is another reason we have a deficit of leadership in our community. Who do we pick as leaders? They're entertainers or celebrities who became celebrities for entertaining. What are entertainers? Either they teach a message by being able to become something or somebody else to manage make-believe, or they're real. But if they're real, they're not entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those who have made a business of distracting us from the things we need to pay rapt attention to, rather than focusing our attention on those things that need to be addressed. So our leadership today is not leadership. It's merely a poor facsimile trying to masquerade as a leader, and the people we pick as leaders are not those who would need us in danger, lead us against and through adversity, lead us so we avoid the adversity by hitting it off at the pass, so to speak. That's
mm-hmm.
not what we pick today. And we
right.
have had 2.5 going on 3 generations over the last 55 years that have been la-di-da-d, having us tag along as they slide down the rabbit hole with us following them into nothing because they are distracting us from the adversity that is confronting us. And we have been led away from paying attention to those things that we need to define leadership. We pay attention to NBA, NFL, MLB, Atlanta Housewives, Pose, whatever nonsense they come up with, whatever somebody's latest rap squabble is all about. Who cares? In the scheme of things, those people could completely evaporate and your day-to-day existence would be no better. We take rap video heroes and sheroes who have done nothing about advancing the cause of us being able to gainfully support ourselves and those we're obligated to, who have done nothing to advance the cause of our handling adversity that has looked upon us after turning us in to domestic animals. We are dogs, not wolves anymore. But it is up to us to become wolves once again so we can form our packs, not to destroy where we live, but to provide, protect, to serve, and implement the advancement of our communities.
So Judge,
you said most of what that
Judge,
amounts to.
Yeah, but Judge, with that being said, and I agree wholeheartedly in regards to that, so my question would be, we know that young people have to have vision because if they just blindly, and of course we've seen this here, you know it as well as I do, we're seeing the blind can't lead the blind, and I know the old saying that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Where do our children stand a chance if they don't
they
have
don't.
Vision?
They don't.
So what do we
see?
What will become our role, our responsibility?
Humans thrive on vision because it got us from cave to condo, from swamp to outer space. And humans can get along without it, but they don't prosper. And there's always this tendency of humanity to enslave those who should be part of the humanity but are reduced in status to something subhuman. We have that tendency. See, you can go to a restaurant and eat lamb, goat, beef, duck, chicken, turkey, whatever you want. You can eat vegetables. You can season it. You can have fish, whatever you want. And that's because we are absolutely at the top of the food chain on the planet Earth. We kill anything we desire to kill. And everything else alive on this planet, except maybe pathogens, bacteria, disease-causing organisms, those things exist at our pleasure. And we spend $19 a month to save the elephants, the tigers, the dogs, the cats, the whales, the penguins, the birds, and the Negroes that are abused every moment in America by some one of their owners, and we need to have $19 a month to save. You see the commercial. That says that in the history of this planet, we are the best killers that have ever walked upon this earth. And when you have things that kill for a living, so to speak, because every time you eat meat, something dies. It wasn't fair to the animal that died so you could eat it, whether it was jerked goat, roasted lamb, whatever it may be. It wasn't fair to it, but that's the way things work. So a beast with that kind of capacity has to be properly socialized and acculturated and led. Because let's face it, this pyramid that we exist in or on is much wider at the base. There are a lot more people. Much of humanity is at the bottom of the pyramid. There are only a few at the top. The ones at the top invent, manufacture, exchange, cause those things that took us from cave to condo.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we call leadership. But we don't have that today in our community. And even on the national level, amongst the white community, we don't have that either.
Mm-hmm.
We have, my personal opinion of the occupant of the White House is he's urban trailer park trash, and he's a crook who has made a career of fleecing the people. We don't have anything out there being offered to us right now on that level from that party that is fit to call itself leadership. We have
mm-hmm.
some people that want to destroy what this is all about. So we have a family, and there is a head of the household,
mm-hmm.
and then there is his wife, and there are their children, and maybe a generation in front that has gotten too old to fend for themselves who have come back to the home of their children, and everybody
mm-hmm.
prospers because there's an exchange of knowledge, information, skill, and lifestyle approach.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that. We have some sick individuals that have been empowered because of a new way of looking at things, where people who are reprehensible, filthy individuals who need to be castigated are protected from being talked about because you can't shame anyone anymore. Remember, that's so horrible.
Yeah.
But for
yeah.
the time we've been on this planet, humanity has bestowed order on itself by shame. You did not do what you ought to have done. Shame on you. Feel great shame with yourself. Do
mm-hmm.
not find that you can look in the mirror, whether the mirror is on your bathroom wall or a smooth body of water in which you can see your reflection. No shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. You go to
mm-hmm.
these churches these days, and no preachers preach about sin. It's about belief. You can do whatever you want to do, but as long as you believe, you'll get to somebody's heaven or paradise. There is nothing about conduct and behavior. Everybody
yeah.
should have what they dream of, the Walt Disney thing. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Your dreams will come true. Never anything in there about hard work, effort, dedication, and focus. You can
mm-hmm.
sit on your couch and smoke a blunt in this white supremacy that will keep you down, so why try? Oh, how happy they're legalizing marijuana as if we aren't stoned enough and drifting off into the fringes of our consciousness so we don't pay attention to the task at hand, and we need something else to be high about. Oh, we have the fat singer who looks like a slobby sea creature stranded on a beach who doesn't even, and brags about wearing no deodorant. But that's something for the girls to emulate so they can behave as a harlot. We've got a pimp who abuses the women in his community, who is a gangster, who kills indiscriminately with old understanding of the dictates of manhood, which would require that he made where he live a safer place. No, that becomes the hero. That becomes the shero. Where we say, oh, the child at 3 years old wanted to be a girl, so let's chemically castrate them when they're 7 or 8, or, excuse me, keep them from getting puberty so they can be physically castrated, or the girls can get bilateral mastectomy
yeah.
when they're 14, so they don't become what was intended.
But Judge, you know, I hate to stop you, but we only got 1 minute left in this production because we have another production following it. And you know, I'm gonna have to have you back because I know you didn't have much time. You had to make sure you get. Since you stood in line that long, it was, you know, it was to your advantage to stick and stay and not stray away from that, so you could get whatever the medication needed. So, but I'm gonna have to have you back. No, that's okay. No, that's fine. You
but
know, I'm
also,
get you.
Excuse me, I'm apologizing for something else, too. I'm an old man. I don't have much breathing time left, so I'm trying to spread what I learned. So I tend to pontificate.
Hey, look here, Judge. Yeah, we appreciate it. And I'm gonna get you back. Maybe we'll see how your schedule is next week and get you back and some of the things that you might want to express to our radio listening audience. You have an opportunity to express that. My co-host, Dr. Slaw Dean, would be back. I don't think that she would be in any objection to that because we need to talk about, and you're on the topic in terms of vision, how we see things, but also in terms of what it is that we have to instill in our children. We can be influential in our children, but you can't teach what you don't know. And most certainly, you can't leave where you don't go. I'm gonna give you a minute, Judge. You know, because I know you got some of that good old barbecue sauce. You understand that you're making there and spices and everything. And so, I'll give you a minute to disseminate that information to our radio listeners.
Okay.
How can they get that? And then also, you might want to let some of them that may not have heard you here on IWDM Radio that you are running for the mayorship there in Memphis, Tennessee. Go ahead, Judge. You got a minute.
All right. As an old man, I'm into two things, service and sauce. Service I deliver because that's my obligation.
Okay.
In 2023, it'll be JJB for mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, Sen Brown downtown. And on the other side, for the sauce, Judge Joe Brown, JJB, barbecue, BBQ, JJBBBQ.com. Go there and order yourself some, and I think you'll agree, you be the judge. It's the best barbecue sauce you have bought. That's being said by everybody that's tried it. It's good on beef, turkey, chicken, duck, goose, lamb, goat, fish, anything you want to put on it. We also have chicken links, smoked and raw, hot and regular, and seasoning powder, and you can get that at jjbbbq.com, and it's great stuff. All of it is healthy. It will pass muster in one of these organic or health food places. There's nothing in it that would violate halal or, for that matter, kosher.
Okay.
So it is good stuff. Try it. You'll like it. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, go by 79th and Western to D's Original Takeout Grill. Check out Chef Damon. He's a good man, good brother, and he sells the stuff there. So enjoy yourself. So that sauce and surface, JJB.
Yeah, for 23, mayor of Memphis, Tennessee. So whatever it is that we can do, be a help to get you there. We do have a brother that lives part-time there in Memphis, Tennessee. And probably the next couple of 2 or 3 months, I'm going down to Mississippi there in Clarksdale. I got to pass right through Memphis. So I want to pick up some of that barbecue sauce so I can –
well, you have to order it right now.
Oh, you got to order it.
You have to order it right now online.
All right.
That's
all right,
you
then.
Get.
So you got that. So once again, pick up your order, the barbecue sauce, other spices there. And you heard him say they got other products there. So patronize the judge and just get behind him. And you know he'll be a good mayor there for Memphis, Tennessee. They need a good mayor there in Memphis. Thank you so much, Judge. And I'll talk to you off air and see how your schedule is running. Maybe we can get you back next week.
Yes, sir. Give me a little bit more hour, a few hours notice on the time there. All right? So anyway, I'm out of here. High by and got to go. This has been Judge Joe. Keep yourself focused and ready and to be on the go. Do what you can. I'm going to be the one that ran, but you'll still be here. So keep it good for those you hold dear.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum, Judge.
And Sula Allah Akbar.
All right, there you heard it. The Honorable Judge Joe Brown was with us. He wasn't with us for the whole hour, but he does apologize, extend his apologies, and I'll talk with him off air, see how he's looking next week, and perhaps we can bring him back and give him an opportunity to share a little bit more of his insight. So we get ready to shift gear, but before we get to the MGM Roundtable, I want to let our radio listening audience know, if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you just completed the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and the focus tonight was on vision. And next week we will continue that focus on vision, which is the last of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. These are qualities that should be raised up in our children because they would actually need them. They are essential for the growth and development of our children. I want to remind you that tomorrow here on IWDM Radio, the beat goes on, and that is that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South, that's the ATL, joining up with me, Mark Shahid, on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And we'll be on the premarital questionnaire. We do invite you to tune in, listen in, especially those who are aspiring to be married or newlyweds, or maybe you've been wedded for a long time. Perhaps you can still get something out of those categories, as they're very needed and necessary questions that have to be answered. We say through sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. So tune in with Karan Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shahid. And we get ready to transition to our next production, which is the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets. He is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host and the presenter and also the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's heard each and every Wednesday evening nationally and internationally. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to you, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, give. And it becomes an obligation not only on the giver, but the recipient of that greeting of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. And I always like to bring to you on the MGM Roundtable very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, and that is the community Imam W. Dame Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as we have a very distinguished, esteemed panel that has been established to be my guest here on the MGM Roundtable. Three outstanding brothers from the Lou and from the Illinois area here that's doing some outstanding work, as they have formulated an organization called BAM. BAM, yeah, you heard it right. And we're talking about like Bam Bam, the Flintstones, or anything of that nature. But it stands for Be a Mentor. And we have, as our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Eskia Hamid, Brother Aline Shedid, and also Rashid Salam, who will be also doubling as an engineer tonight. And so they have formulated this organization called BAM, Be a Mentor. And I'm very honored to have them here on the MGM Roundtable. And so I'd like to extend the greetings to all of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. If we can have...
Press one on your phone. Imam Askia Hamid, and also to you, Aleem Shadid.
Yes.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam. You know, it's an honor to have you join me here on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As I said earlier, I always like to present people that are actually doing something in the community to make a difference. And when I found out about what it is that you had formulated, you know, I said, I got to have these brothers. And I've been knowing these brothers for years and years and years. And the outstanding work that you're doing here in the St. Louis and East St. Louis area, the two neighboring states, Missouri and also Illinois. So what I'm going to do, if you will, I'm going to give each one of you a couple of minutes to introduce yourself, and perhaps there, I know we have callers that, that know some of you and may be familiar with some of the work that you've done over the past years, but I'm going to start with you, Imam Askia Hamid, and I want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Hamid.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark, and alhamdulillah, I'm thankful to be a part of the sharing. Actually was invited into BAM by Brother Rashid and Brother Ali. And in brief, I have been involved, as you know, Mark, with activity in the public schools in the metropolitan area for over 38 years as a volunteer.
Yeah.
With the program that was initiated by Imam Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayhi, which he introduced in around 76, 77, Human Self-Development. I received
yes.
it from Imam Mansour Bayah, and I just will say we were able to go into the public schools and initiated with the middle school and eventually the high schools, and we actually started in the junior college in the area with it around 79, 80. And I conclude with this saying that we were blessed to find out it was myself and Khalil Alameen and William Nabawi that were active. And I found out with Jamal Ali, who also assisted at times, that from Imam Qasim Ahmed, Rahimahullah alayh, that he actually put that program together for Imam Muhammad. I found that out.
Alhamdulillah.
So when I was invited in to BAM with Brother Aleem and Brother Salam, Rashid Salam, I told them they were in my backyard. That's what I love doing. So alhamdulillah, I conclude with that.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Imam Askia Hamid. And now we're going to go to you, Brother Aleem Shadid. I want to give you 2 minutes just to introduce yourself and what it is that you want the radio listening audience to know about you. Brother Aleem, welcome to the
yes.
MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, Mark. Askia has been around for a lot longer in this situation than I have.
Mm-hmm.
I came aboard, yes, about 4 years ago, and my reasoning for coming in was that I noticed our community, that we were lacking understanding, lacking
mm-hmm.
leadership, and every other week or every other day now, you find
mm-hmm.
some young black man or some black child getting murdered. And, you know, and really just messed up in our community. And I realized that the only way we're going to help ourselves is to help ourselves and stop looking for somebody outside of us to correct ourselves, especially our youth, you know,
yeah.
because most of the young people growing up don't have fathers in their homes, you know,
yes.
and when you have lack of leadership, you're bound to fall for anything that goes down. And
yes.
I noticed during the 60s when they start having welfare, one of the qualifications was you couldn't have a man in the house
yes.
to get this welfare assistance. So, but if you was a farmer, you could get farm aid and keep your family together. So systematically, it was bound to affect us the way it is affecting us today.
Yes.
You know? So I was invited to by another brother by the name of Ron Wilkerson that actually got us started in Oskia's backyard over at Wybetta Young. And then once I got involved with Oskia, we was able to do some other things. I was with him with the senior high school over there. And
mm-hmm.
then long came Brother Rashid that fell in line, and we started coming over here in Missouri. But
yes.
we have a system that needs addressing, especially our young people, because
yes.
they lack leadership. They lack people to actually come out and say, I'm concerned about you. And I love
yes.
you, and I want to mm-hmm. help you by any means necessary. And you
yes,
know,
sir.
And you got to be one of those that look beyond just trying to get close to an individual. So for your own personal gains, you got to be willing to sacrifice something to help these people.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much, Brother Aileen. Very well said. Thank you so much. And we do welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Last but not least, Rashid Salam, I want to give you a couple of minutes to reintroduce yourself with another cap on your head here in terms of BAM. And then I want to start a discussion with all three of you in regards to what it is you do, your objectivity in all, your inspiration and motivation. And what is that you're looking to actually make a difference in our young people's lives? So, Rashid Salam, if you would, 2 minutes. Who are you?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, I'm riding on the coattails of some powerful brothers, man. You know, Brother Imam has done some phenomenal things in East St. Louis, as you said so eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
Aileen mentioned that I've been back here in St. Louis now for 4 years, and I kind of did a similar program, a speakers bureau out in California in Oakland, working with the diversionary programs with the sheriff's department and the juvenile hall, working with the prison reentry individuals. And what I recognized is that, you know, one of the issues that we had all these young men who had no fathers, or all these young women who had no fathers, in some cases not even having mothers. And so I worked in the foster care system for quite some time, dealing with emancipated youth at 18 years old. And one of the areas of concern was there was no pathway. There was no information. There was no education. There was no guidelines being given to those young people who were having problems. So my thought was, how do you stop the bleeding? It has to start at a very young age. And so when I got back home, and Aileen and Ron and Joey and all those individuals going into the school system, I thought it was a great opportunity to get restarted. The program that we did in California, it was called BAM, so they adopted the name. So I just brought it up, and everybody liked it, and we're still working on it to just try to get in and provide some guidance, some examples, to show what a man is and how he's supposed to act, and then present to these young people some solid, powerful information that someone does care about you. And I think that's one of the issues that we have. And one of the things I learned in the juvenile hall and the system, that I'm not going to ask you what's wrong with you. I already know what happened. So let's start from there and try to deal with what happened to you and tried to rebuild the lives of these males and females to begin to, you know, try to do model community life. And it starts with individuals, and it starts with individuals and families, and you can never get to a community you taking care of those two components. So that's where we are. That's what we're working on, trying to expand it and looking for men in the community who want to do something positive. We do have some good people working with us right now, so we want to build that team, and this is an opportunity for us to share that information.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Rashid. Salam. Very well said. So I always believe in terms of whatever it is that we do, I always like to utilize the Quran where Allah says that all I do is to be fair and just. And so I'm going to rotate this so I don't want anybody to think that I'm just coming back, starting with Imam Eskia again, because he was the first one to speak, and I'm going to move to Brother Aleem. But I'm going to ask the same question to each one of you in the questioning to try to extrapolate as much information for our radio listening audience, and want to say that those of you who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have tonight a very distinguished, esteemed panelist tonight that have formed an organization called BAM, Be a Mentor. And so I have Rashid Salam with us. I have Aleem Chadid with us, and I have Imam Eskia Hamid with us comprising this panel tonight. And we want to look at BAM, and we want to find out as much as we can. We want to invite you, if you have a question or you have a comment to our special guest tonight, we do invite you to press 1. And for those of you who may be listening in, we know we got quite a few people listening in by way of the Internet. For you to ask a question or make a comment, or you might just want to press 1 if what you're hearing tonight is resonating with you. And I'm hoping that some of the things that our panelists will say will be inspirational and motivational to you to establish something like BAM in your neck of the woods, so to speak. Because it's so well needed and necessary today. So you have to call in to the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. So I'm going to set some time parameters because I like to maximize the minimum, and the minimum is always time, but to get the maximum out of that and to get some needed and necessary questions in regards to BAM and all, I'm going to ask you to stay within the time constraints as I'll go to each one of you for your response. Brother Aleem, I'm going to start with you this time in this round robin I like to do in facilitating a panel discussion. Obviously, I think all of you have insinuated, implicated the need and how necessary it is to be mentors and all. Looking at the family structure as it is today, one of the things I come across in the last couple of years, and periodically I check, and depending on where you're getting your data from, it is said that 70 to 75, and I've seen as high almost 79, almost 80%, or all African-American children are born out of wedlock. They're born out of wedlock, which meaning that many of our children are birthed and their parents are not married, which meaning that they're not committed. I don't know what percentage of those males that are really men and take on the responsibility of manhood. And also father and fatherhood. And I want to just say this. I do make a distinction between being a daddy. If you're not impotent, you can become a daddy. But father is a role and responsibility. So, Brother Aleem, how important is this when you decided to join up and to become a mentor? Were you aware of the fact that there's a deficit from the very beginning in many of young African-American youth, particularly the African-American male, where they're coming from a household where there is no man, there is no example of manhood, there is no father, there's no example of fatherhood. I want to give you at least 3 to 4 minutes for your response, if you would. Brother Lane?
Yes. First of all, take under consideration that 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. And then on top of that, that's regardless to what color you are, black, white, yellow, green. And then put that on top as an African-American, like you stated, that our percentage is higher than that for fatherless homes. When you have a situation where women, not putting them down, are raising single families, God bless them, are raising families by themselves. Most in our community, more than half of these families are ran by women. Father is in and out or vacated the area after divorce or out of wedlock making children. But it's a systemic situation because the beginning wasn't really the man's fault. It stems from slavery. How could it be slavery? First of all, during slavery, black men, the strongest black man and the strongest woman was put together to make children.
Yes.
For the slave purpose. Once they made slavery, importing slaves in the country illegal. So they had birthing farms. So they would have these kids out of wedlock, basically, one strong, what they call a buck, go to the next slave owners, call it a wench, mate with them, and produce another child, boy or child, you know, boy or woman, girl. So conditionally, over a period of time, that gave a condition for mental that, oh, you can make a child, but you know how to take care of them. And then the 60s came along with the welfare situation. And up to this day, immigration hurt black people because then it separated us to, you know, from the community that we had. Because when I was growing up, I'm almost 75. So when I was growing up, you know, you had a community that if you did something wrong, hey, boy, I'm going to tell your mother, hey, girl, you know you shouldn't be doing that. You know your daddy going to get you. We don't have that anymore.
Right.
Because once that welfare system kicked in, they wouldn't allow the man to be in the house. You know, you had women hiding their husbands just to get the assistance, you know. So conditioning is part of it. But now it's time for us to be responsible for the condition that we're in. I tell you, young people, if you know the deck is loaded, don't play cards. You know the deck is stacked against you, don't fall victim and get somebody a stick to beat you with. Be responsible for yourself. When you become a certain age, you have to look in the mirror and say, how can I change my situation? And I was telling you earlier today that when Michael Jackson made that record, The Man in the Mirror, how can you change the world unless you change yourself? Once you change yourself, you change your family. Once you change your family, you change your community, and so on and so on. So we got to start doing something on our own and stop looking for outside help. Politician ain't going to save our situation. Men have got to step forward and do something with the situation that we're in now. That's my comment.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Very well said, Brother Lane. Thank you so much. Very insightful commentary that you made on that. So now we want to go to you, Rashid Salam, and want to say to our radio listening audience, at any point in time that you have a question or comment to our very distinguished esteemed guests here, you want to ask either one or all of them a question in regards to BAM, as I don't run out of questions, so but I want to invite our radio listening audience, please press 1. And if what you're hearing tonight, if it's resonating with you, I'm quite sure these brothers would love to hear from you also. So, Rashid Salam, the same question for you. You know, I'm always looking at stats, statistics, and actually it doesn't really lie, you know, whether it's 70%, 75%, or 80%. And just as Brother Aleem said, that most marriages are failed marriages, 50%. And, of course, we're at the end of the totem pole even on that. I don't exactly remember exactly what the percentage is, but we're bringing up the rear, especially when it comes to being responsible fathers and exemplifying fatherhood, man and manhood. And it should be first that you become a man and understand something about manhood, what the role and responsibility is, and then you get married, and then you start a family, and then you become a father, and you exemplify fatherhood. And this is important, obviously, for our children to model that for them, for the next generation. As they grow up, then it will be repetitive. So, Rashid, how do you see that from your perspective? And you got 3 to 4 minutes for your response. Rashid?
Yes, sir, Mark. You know, numbers don't lie, people do. So I'm a statistics guy myself, you know, and being in finance and management, we have seen these statistics, you know, all of our lives, you know. So I just want to you know, piggyback off what Aleem said. It is a systemic situation. It is a slavery situation. But the fact is, it is what it is. You know, I just want to quote this one quote that has been it just stays with me ever since I read it in the book. Where during the slavery time, it said, "We have almost eliminated any possibility that knowledge could enter the slaves' minds. If we can extinguish this one part of them, we would be safe and they would be like beasts of the field." Now, that stuck with me for almost 20 years. I don't know why I remembered that particular thing in this book, but for someone to think in terms of destroying a human being, making sure information and knowledge doesn't enter his mind, to make them like beasts of the field, really, really made me mad. And so this mission of what happened to us, you know, not what's wrong, what happened to us is one of the key elements and what you're referring to with the life of all our young men and women being affected by divorce, being affected by just rampant urges that are carnal at best. When what got me involved, Mark, because of the statements you made, I'm from a family of 12 brothers and sisters, and I lost my mother at 14 years old, and I watched my father, who had a ninth grade education, raised 11 children, and I always looked up to him as one he didn't know, but he did tell us, "Get your education, baby. It's all I can tell you. I can only do so much, but I want you to be independent and come back and help." So that was my motivation. And when I came back here to St. Louis, one of the things that resonated with me most when I found out that 42% of every ninth grade black male who went to schools in St. Louis City didn't graduate.
Wow.
42% of ninth graders who started the ninth grade, African-American men, didn't graduate. So that's kids at 14 years old. So 10 years from there, they're 24. So you want to know who's committed all the crimes? You want to know the things that are taking place? It's that same group of people who never graduated from high school. So we have a percentage that we have to play. We have to recognize that the prison rate in this country is those same individuals. And also those individuals that's going to prison are the very same ones who's in the foster care system. Why? Because of broken homes. So you have to understand where this problem begins. It begins with the individual. It begins with the family. It begins with the statistics that you gave us on divorce rates and how many children are being raised by single mothers. You know, this is a serious, serious program. It's a lot of work that's required. That's why in the word mentor you find the word men. It's going to take men to come together and organize and structure their lives so we can go back and help them. So when I came back here, they were called the Speakers Bureau. They had the Speakers Bureau, so that really got me because here we are going to school, speaking to young men like myself and Aileen just recently did at Hazelwood Central. We went out and spoke to a group of young people. And the state of the mind of these individuals who go to school was just so disrespectful. The state of the minds of them not even wanting or having the desire to want to do anything. So that statement, they're like beasts of the field. It resonated with me that day, you know, and so these fatherless homes, these homes where fathers are in prison, or fathers who live right around the corner and got four kids on two different blocks, you know, but you never even talk to those particular children. You never get involved in those children. That responsibility, that information, the education that's required has to be taught all over again. It's almost like it's almost like rebuilding a human being. Because when the man said they're like beasts of the field, he is exactly right. So what are we saying? They're just instinctive. They have no intelligence. They have no consciousness. So that role has to be played. And our job under the program of Be a Mentor is to go out and share, represent, show individuals who we are, what we can be, and what you can be. But at the same time, we need help. We need help, so we're going to be talking to more people to try to get involved, and we just have to get busy, Mark. That's all I can say, because we recognize there is a problem. There is a problem.
Yes.
Now, what do we do about it? What do we do?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, Rashid, I'm going to ask you to move away from the studio because I'm getting that reverberating sound.
Yes, I heard it too, Mark.
And everything, yes. So we want to keep it as clear, crisp broadcast as all of these broadcasts are archived, so we're getting that reverberating sound. So, yes, now we're clear. Let's be conscious of that. So, Imam Eskia, the same question for you, too. I won't repeat it, but when you hear about these startling statistics and all, and, of course, you've been doing it for a long, long time and going into the schools and everything at I know you had to be motivated to do that. I mean, in terms of helping others that really need help in that arena. And I think Rashid and Aileen alluded to the fact that many of these mothers that have children, they're not married, so they don't have husbands. And so consequently, oftentimes the children, they may have a daddy, and they may know their daddy, and they may not know their daddy, but they most certainly don't have a father, nor are they exposed and experience fatherhood, manhood. So your commentary in regards to that as an issue, and then we're going to begin to start talking about some of the remedies that you all see that in terms of establishing this organization called BAM. Imam Eskia, I mean, you have 3 to 4 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And again, I appreciate the effort and the sharing that you're doing. I thought of it right away when you asked for those statistics or you shared them. I thought of something I experienced. I had already been in the schools for some time, and I eventually, our oldest came through the high school that I was in, and he shared something with me, and this was in 97, where he had been in the school for about 12 years by then. And so, okay, my children now coming through the very schools that I'm having a voice in. And what he shared with me, that his peers, not only did they not know, did they not know their parent, no, they didn't have a relationship with their dad. They didn't know who he was. The high percentage of his classmates and peers not only didn't they have a relationship with their dad, they didn't know who he was.
Wow.
Now, this was in 97.
Yes.
These numbers that you're sharing that have increased to 80% for the African-American community in America now, where they used to point to us back then with those lack of marriages in the community, now the Caucasian American, 20% of their children are born out of wedlock, and 50% of the weddings, the marriages, as stated before, in America, in divorce. So I'm saying that to say the predicament that starts at the bottom, it started to rise to the top, and of those that weren't influenced by it. But what I also wanted to share, I made a few notes.
Okay.
Is that one of the things that we can do is be seen and heard, and most of all, be sincere. Engaging with young people, they read and we feel. They said, "I feel you," and they're saying, "I know that you're earnest. You're not afraid of me. You're not afraid of me, and you're speaking to me earnestly." And it's something I noticed different going in with the group with Brother Aleem and Brother Rashid is the demographic that have changed now is the humbleness there if they see you sincere, because they don't have a relationship with father, grandfather, no one like that taking the time. So once they do, I'm looking at them listening. Now I'm going to address what I believe took place when I saw that gathering. I didn't go to the one in St. Louis because I've learned over the years the best success in communication is dialogue in small groups. Dialogue in small groups. So that you can hear them, because the listening to Judge Joe, I'm listening to him. He was expressing things that are real, but and at the same time, the answer is in the problem.
Yes.
The communicating helps to reveal, as I was hearing in a class, the squeezing of society. The pressures of society is forcing something to be purified or come forward that needs to come forward in the sense of responsibility. So those are realities. And one of the things that Imam Muhammad said that caused me to stop going so much into the penal institution and to start to go into the academic environment that is going to be hard to get into now if you're not strategic, because of the other things that have changed. So that's something I would like to, if you would, we could touch on.
Yeah.
So you got to be skillful. You got to be skillful to get in now, because language has changed the way you really can't, in some classroom, call a boy if he's accepted that he wants to be a girl. You're out of place. Mm. That's how bizarre it has gotten.
Yes. Alhamdulillah.
But I conclude with this, that if they see you in the environment, it don't have to be the school, but if they see you and they hear from you and you're sincere, that the extremes that exist today helps the light to be so much brighter now than it was in the past.
Alhamdulillah.
So I conclude.
Excellent. That's excellent commentary, Imam Eskia. Rashid Salam, I'm going to come to you, but when you're not speaking, I'm going to ask you, as your engineer, to mute the other mics. I'm still getting that reverberating. That's very annoying. When it comes back on the archives, I don't want to hear any noise. So when you're not speaking, I want you to mute your mic and the other mic, only the speaker, and if we have callers. I want to say to those of you who may have tuned in late that you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you are listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and I think this is a global message that needs to be seen. We may think that only the atrocities, the issues, the problems that we're confronted with today is only in our locale. it shouldn't be any consolation to you that it's happening all over the world, but particularly here in the United States of America. And so we need to acknowledge that. And I'm hoping that what it is that you're hearing tonight and what these brothers are doing in terms of going into the junior high, the high schools, and having presentations and maybe having a Q&A session with our youth and everything, mentoring. And many of these, especially African-American males that don't have fathers, they don't even know what fatherhood is. They don't know what manhood is and all. And they're sharing what it is that they take in and their commitment to do this and all. So in this round robin here, then Rashid Salam, you would take this question. And I want to encourage our radio listening audience. I don't want to be the only one to ask questions. I know you should have some. You should have some questions in lieu of the things that we are seeing that's happening in society today, as Imam Eskia just alluded to. We want to talk about the things that, and here at the roundtable, I don't just want to talk about the problems and the issues only. Being a Muslim, as these brothers are Muslims too, we know that there is a solution, there is a resolution for all the pollution that it is that we see in society. So we want to do due diligence in terms of time, what it is that can and should be done and what it is that we should be committed to doing, you know, wherever we are. You know, we have to bloom where we are planted, regardless of wherever that may be. And it's something that all of us can do, and we should see that we have an obligation, a responsibility to help those who need help. But I say, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say in his voice, the only way to help a man is to help him, to help himself. That's the only way to really help a man, is to help him to help himself. So with that being said, Rashid Salam, I'm going to start with you in terms of looking at solutions. And if, in fact, that you all have Q&A sessions, or if, in fact, that there's follow-up and all, what is it that you should be said if you are a mentor? And, by the way, before we leave the air, you know, I'm a wordologist, and I put together an acronym. Maybe you all decide to use it. Maybe you won't decide to use it. But it's Minds Embracing, Nurturing, and Teaching about Opportunities and Responsibility for Success, Mentors. That's what it is that Allah blessed me with. So I don't know if that would be useful or not, but hopefully our radio listening audience will see that. And notice I didn't say men, because there are women that are mentors too, and I didn't want to make it seem as though I was discriminating against women, because we do have sisters that are out here that are doing the same type of work that our brothers are doing here. So, Rashid, starting with you, I want to give you about 3 minutes, if you would. I'd be conscious of the time constraints. Our radio listening audience, we do want your participation in the form of a question or comment. And if you don't have a question, don't have a comment, if what you're hearing is resonating with you, I'm quite sure our radio listening audience would love to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1. And Rashid Salam is doubling tonight, and he will inform me that you have your hand up. You want to ask a question, make a comment, or you just want to let it be known that what you're hearing is resonate. Rashid, we talked about the problem. We talked about the issues and all of this. But unlike most other productions, I like to hear solutions. What is it that we can begin to start doing? And what is it that you all, what it is that you think in terms of what should be said, especially to our young people that will help, you understand, that void that they're experiencing in their life. Rashid Salam, you got 3 minutes, bro.
All right. Okay, Mark. Your question was, what should we do? What are some of the things that we're doing?
What are some of the things that you're doing, understanding, as you, Brother Aleem and Imam Askia, have, is the first diagnosis and prognosis in all, in terms of actually knowing and understanding what the problem, what the issue is, what solution, what resolutions, and what is it that you actually say to these young people already knowing the precondition that they have, the socialization, acculturation that they've come up in? What is it that you really say and think that could actually be a help to them? And then in addition to that, what are the solutions, you understand, to rectify the problems and issues that we're being confronted with? We just got through saying, talking about statistics. 3 minutes, if you would, Rashid.
Okay. You know, one
I know I said a
is,
lot there, but you know,
okay.
However
that's
you want
okay.
to approach it.
It all, it, you know, you put the lime in the coconut and mix it all together. We got it. No problem. one of the things that we had our challenge with, Mark, was coming up with what type of structure and what type of program would we like to offer to young people, and how could we come up with something that was structured in a way that we could take a child who had a problem, then grow him into what we want him to be, or the direction we'd like to see him go in. So that comes with what I brought to the table is an organized curriculum conceptually that we can use to begin to assess the individual. Once we know who that particular individual is, because we know everybody's gone through a different situation and circumstance, what was our thoughts on what was wrong with that particular child? Well, we have a gallery circles. We talk to these individuals. We have them talk to us. And as Imam Askia was saying, that commitment of them feeling open to share their lives with us was a key component, because everybody has a different problem, and no one has the same issue, and very few people can trust anymore. We want to put that U.S. back in the word trust, that us back there, so we can begin to function. So I have always been into designing programs around growth and development, human development, understanding the trauma that one's gone through, understanding the individual structure of a child's life and his environment determines what his values are. So by talking to these individuals, for them to trust us to share their lives with us is one of the tools that we use. And there's so many ways to mentor. We could do e-mentoring. We could do phone mentoring. We could do it personal mentoring. And with COVID-19, we was kind of stuck on doing a lot of different things. So we have to be creative as well. So one of the things I believe that we'll be more successful in is coming up with a structured program. Let's say a charity class. What does that class consist of? Understanding who you are, civic and social responsibilities, conflict resolution, anger management, financial education information, just preparation for life, workforce development concepts on things that we partner with other groups and organizations in to make sure we can segue them into another place where we can help them, or just get them to the point where you can trust us and believe what we say, so you can go in a direction, or guide them, shall I say, in a direction to be a better person. So that's what mentoring is to us. I think the point is just being able to collaborate and coalesce with other groups and organizations as well. So what we can't do, we can refer them to some place that can help them do what they need to do, and giving them guidance, giving them direction, the same thing that a father would do. Be a good example.
Yes.
Be a good supporting individual, and make that commitment to be with them when they need the help. If they need to make a phone call in the middle of the night, we have to be there for them. If we want to just email or text, being there for them as well. So that's the structure that we're putting in place to make sure that we can accommodate these individuals in areas where they have a problem. One of our brothers helped one of the guys financially one time. He had problems with his mother. He wanted to do this and that. So it's a combination of packaging that has to take place, and every single person we work with is going to have a different solution. Every person we work with is going to have a different situation and circumstance. So that's why it's so important for us to be organized and structured. So if one of us can't get there, then somebody else can. So that's what we are, Mark, and that's what mentoring is all about. It's not about just one individual. It's a partnership, a relationship, and coalition with other groups and organizations to guide that particular person to where they need to go. And we do have women. We do have women mentors as well. I just want to let you know. We have women
mentors. I'm aware. Yeah, that's why I said what I said. And then hopefully y'all consider that that acronym because it is minds that have evolved, and they actually are embracing nurturing. And this is a great misnomer. When we think about nurturing, we always think about the female and not the male. We think about the mother and not the father. But nurturing is only just fostering the growth and development in our children. And most certainly, when we are conscious of that, we should be conscious of the fact that Allah has created us in pairs, and that both have a role and responsibility in the nurturing, in the cultivation of our children. This is a big role and responsibility. If some of you listen in to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, which I just had the Honorable Judge Joe Brown on, we give a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting, and we say that it is the process. It is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility not only for the mother, but also for the father. So I just want to make sure that our radio listening audience understand that it's two. It takes two. You know, it takes two. It takes two to bring forth new life, but it also takes takes two in terms of nurturing and cultivating that life in the vital components that comprise the holistic human being. This is something I learned from Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is very important. When we can see ourselves in the composition, the makeup of the human being, and realize that here's a new life, you understand, they have all these components, you understand, but they have to be nurtured and cultivated. So with that being said, Imam Eskia, I mean, the same question in terms of how you see the solutions for the problems that, you know, been confronted with for a long time now. It's beginning to go from at least two generations back, if not more. Instead of a progression, we're actually seeing a regression in terms of the family life. It needs to be reconstructed. So what would you say that is that we need to do? And when you go in to these various schools and all, what is it that you say to the young people to give them perhaps a better concept of themselves and perhaps the potential that the Creator has given to them? I don't know whether you have any constraints, and I'm quite sure all of you brothers are very gifted in conveying the message, and it's not like you're pushing the religion of Al-Islam, but obviously you're speaking from an Islamic base and conveying the information that, you know, many of these young people, they need to hear in their life. Imam Eskia, you got 3 minutes. I know I said a lot. So you got 3 minutes, brother Imam.
I thank you for sharing that in that manner. One of the things that was part of the presentation, and most of the time when we refer to what the Imam Muhammad Rahim Allah and they was sharing with us in those late 70s, early 80s, reflect upon the language. And that language can be used in the public because it's transitional, but it's basic. And what I'm saying is what we do is get to go to the baby. We inquire, how do we get where we are? Where are you from? Where are your grandparents from? Raise your hand. How many? Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee. They raise their hand. They see we got this in common. That's 95% of the class. We have this in common. Chicago, Detroit. Okay, why? Okay, we go there. And then after that, how do the baby learn? How do we learn? And then we go into the five senses. So perception is how we start to see the world. Now, what's in our environment? Why do we do?
I can't hear. Did I get cut off? Can you hear me, Rashid?
No, you didn't get cut off. Skia got cut off. Okay, we have two lines down right now. They're calling back in right now. Just bear with us. If anyone have any questions pertaining to what's being said tonight, please raise your hand and ask a question while we're waiting on the two callers to get back on. This is Rashid Salam, the engineer. So if anyone has anything they want to share, feel free, and we'll just bring, I think we have Buddy Ma'am back. Hang on just a second. Buddy Ma'am, that's you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you very well. We're waiting on Mark come back on. Mark got cut off, too. I guess his phone dropped as well. His line dropped. So we just waiting on him, but your point was well taken. And if anybody has anything that they want to ask, okay, here's Mark. Mark is back. Okay.
Okay. I'm back.
All right, Mark. No problem.
Little technical difficulties here.
Yeah. Both of you guys got the same time.
It's just what we're saying is so hot, they want to cut me out of this. I know whatever it is that Imam Eskia has said.
I didn't finish either.
Oh, okay, please go ahead, and I'll give you an additional 2 minutes there because I didn't hear it. So whatever it is that you'd like to say, Buddy Ma'am, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I wanted to conclude by referencing oftentimes we think about in the Quran where it says to kill the men and let the women go free.
Yes.
That particular term in there regarding the women going free, that particular word is used where Allah says he uses analogies as small as the mosquito, or translated the gnat, and Allah has no shyness in using that. That particular shyness is referencing also where it's describing the women going free. It has to do with the life being having not being shy. So think about that in regard to the women and what I heard that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked regarding the women and certain degrees of modesty. Where could you have a society if you have the women brought to a point of being immodest? How can that raise a future? So that's important. But also is cultivating the ones that's going to come behind us. We have believers. Hey, I'm now past 65. You know, we need to have younger people coming behind us. And praise be to Allah, by me going into public schools where my children were at, I got to see two of my sons, and I know others that have done it when they were in Atlanta, go in the schools because they were able to see how their peers responded to this type of dialogue and communication. That's very important once young people see that others of their peers respect that type of dialogue and communication. And right now what I'm talking about, how do we reproduce ourselves when we having this communication of our higher self, of the mental and the spiritual development. But I want to conclude with this. We have to be so tactful because language environment has been changed. The way you have teachers can't even call him if this child is deciding or been convinced that you can be something other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really being restricted, and so we need our own schools. We need to have influence in our public environments, whether it's in our community centers or in our neighborhood, so we can share. We can't depend upon going into other institutions because the teachers themselves are being restricted in common sense.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, boy, that's very well said, man. And I concur 100% with all of that. I know that I'm on the Clara Muhammad School Committee here, and we are presently working to have a weekend school. We haven't been able to get a brick-and-mortar school as of yet. That is the goal. we've been raising funds for a while, but we're committed, inshallah, that this September that we will have a weekend school. So I concur 100%. That is always a viable solution because now when we start questioning gender and the confusion, as many adults can we imagine how devastating that can be to our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews, you understand, that don't have a better school, better way in terms of actually being educated and being confronted with foolishness such as that. So thank you so much for that. So now we're going to go to you, Brother Aleem. And same question, you know, when we look at, you know, society today, as we've already stated, as it is today, Brother Aleem, what is the solution? What are some of the things? I know some of the things that Rashid and Imam Iskia have already said. Obviously, these are viable solutions. When you go into schools, you know, already conscious of the devastation that many have already experienced in their life, what comes to mind in terms of what it is that you think that you need to say to the children? And I'm also thinking, and you can make some commentary on this too, Aleem, that I almost think that there need to be a special session with the parents, even if you're coming from a one-parent household, to periodically be able to address them from time to time. So what's your thinking on that, Aleem? And you have 3 minutes also.
Yeah. Let me say something that my beloved mother, may Allah have mercy on her soul, passed away last year. She would always tell us over the years that it's hard to hold children responsible when they haven't been taught.
Mm.
So almost when you address the child, you almost have to address the parent. So you have to find these children, address them to where they're at. When we first started going over to Wabetta Young, you used to see these kids coming to school with backpacks on their back, you know. And I'm saying, wow, they must be reading a lot of books, you know, with backpacks. But then come to find out that they were bringing their dirty clothes to school for the teachers to wash. And some of them were coming from shelters. So the first thing that the group that we first started, we was able to get a washer and dryer in the school system so the kids could wash their clothes at school. So when you're dealing with a situation like that, many kids coming from juvenile detention centers, and I've been associated with the Illinois Coalition for Community Service, and I've actually, matter of fact, first of last year, New Year's Day, I went to a detention center to pick up a kid, to take him down to the welfare office or the social office downtown East St. Louis.
Yes.
Took my time off that particular day. You know, I've even went to court to see what that particular same child was being involved in because he was involved in a stolen car. I'm saying all of this to say this, that there are one thing you have to do with children. You have to show them another way. You have to be honest,
yes,
and consistent.
Yes.
You know, you can talk all you want to do, but you got to put action. Went to some high school graduates to help them get their driver's license, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I put myself out there because, first of all, you have to be selfless. You've got to take self out of it.
Yes.
And whatever you do, you have to have no ulterior motive to do something else. I'm doing this to do that. No.
Yes.
You got to be selfless. You know,
yes.
You got to take that I out and make it us, because we
mm-hmm.
all in this together. You know, like Elijah used to say, no big eyes and no losing. You know, everybody
mm-hmm.
want to be a chief, but nobody want to be an Indian. I consider myself an Indian.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
an Indian. So I do what's necessary. But the whole thing that our children need is exposure to something other than the 10-block radius that they live in. You know, there was a situation where a group of kids from East St. Louis had never, at the age of 12, 13, had never been across the river to a baseball game. 13 years old now, and you have never crossed the river less than 10 miles from your location to a baseball game. And then when you're exposing to them, they, you know, it's like Christmas in July. So
yes.
you have to be consistent. You have
mm-hmm.
to be very dedicated to making sure that they trust you. That trust is the most important thing.
Yes.
Because we've had kids in sessions that
mm-hmm.
actually opened up and told us things that was actually against the law of what they had done. But they had said, oh, I did this and I got busted for that. But they didn't bust me for this here, and I did this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So trust is a very important part.
Yes.
And then you find out where they're at. We've had kids who helped them get jobs. But
mm-hmm.
the whole thing is you can have a child for 8 hours and go home.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do the same 8 hours again because they go home to the same environment.
Yes.
You know? This one kid that I was talking about that I went to court with, his mother was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I think it was mid-40s, had 10 kids, and only raised two of her children. All the rest of them were fostered out.
Oh, man.
And her understanding was near. So, It's traumatic, you know. And plus, one of the questions that I asked Rashid, and I asked him, how many kids in the classroom know somebody that got shot or killed?
Mm.
And I asked this question at Hazelwood East just recently after the cab driver got killed right behind Hazelwood East. How many
mm-hmm.
kids, we had maybe 50 students in the class. How many kids in here know someone that died before or got shot before they was 21? About 30% raised their hand.
Mm.
The statement that I've made, I said, if numbers don't lie, if you don't change your situation now, some of y'all are not going to make it to 21.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you. Brother. Yeah, thank you so much, Brother Leem, and what you said was really heartfelt, you know, as I was listening, very attentive to what it is that you were saying and how important trust is, and our young people do need somebody that they can really trust, that they can actually talk to communicate with, you know, and even if they don't have a father as a mentor, and actually you all, to an extent, become surrogate fathers for them. And something, when you said that, children don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so the work that you all are doing, this actually is an indication to children that somebody really cares for them. And it makes a difference in their life. And I think Imam Eskia said what it was that he witnessed, you know, in terms of a session that he was in, how the children responded to that. And they're attracted to that because it's in their very nature. It's in their very nature. The Creator, Allah, has put it in their nature, you know, to have the sense of family, but it is that they don't create their own condition. They don't create that. Their socialization, acculturation, comes in this first social unit, which is the family life. This is a sacred institution that Almighty God, Allah, has established, as you may have heard me on the first hour talking about the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Allah tells us that in the Quran, that after he created the human being from water, and we're just not talking about on the physical level, but water, as the Imam have taught us, it can mean in different contexts. It can mean morality. It can mean emotionality. It can mean spirituality, and most certainly sensitivity. So this is part of Allah's creation in creating the human being with all of these, I would say, benefits before he established the relationship of lineage and also marriage. And then Allah says, and he has power or influence over all things. So this is innate. This is in our children. And many of them are deprived of that. And that's not their fault. That's not their fault in that regard. So this mentorship helps tremendously in a young child's life, because many of them misguided and misdirected. And so the mentorship, you understand, actually helps to kind of replace what it would be that if they would be getting in the family life, if they had a real father, one that's conscious of his role and responsibility. So with that being said, I want to go one last time, Rashid Salam, and ask you if we have any callers in the queue. All you have to do is press 1. If you have a question or comment to our panelists tonight, or if what you've heard, I'm going to ask you to do this, if what you've heard tonight, if it is resonating with you, I'm just going to take a little mini survey here. If what you heard tonight is resonating with you, I'm going to just ask you to press 1. Even if you don't want to say anything, I'm going to ask you to press 1, and I'm going to count silently to 10 in my mind. You understand? And then I'm going to ask you. So I'm right at 5 now, and I'm at 10. And if you press 1 and you don't want to have anything to say, then you can press 1 and go out the queue. But if what you've heard tonight has resonated with you, I'm going to ask you to stay in the queue and just share what impact is what you've heard tonight, how it has resonated with you. So, Rashid Salam, do we have any takers tonight? Or are they just soaking it all in tonight? Rashid?
Well, it looks like they're soaking it all in. They did raise their hand to say they acknowledge you, but when you said if you have any questions, they push 1, so they don't have any questions. So everything
well,
is satisfied.
Well, it's not only questions. I want to be clear here because I've added this third leg here on IWDM Radio. I know sometimes people don't want to be known, and, of course, you can – be incognito here on IWDM Radio. They may not have a question, and they may not feel like they can add anything to this conversation. A lot of great information has been disseminated tonight, obviously, but for the person just listening, if you're just listening and you're a conscious person, a believer, I almost think that this information had to resonate with you in some shape, form, or fashion. So if you want to just make a comment in a general way, that's fine, alhamdulillah. If you want to make a comment in a specific way in terms of what resonated with you, then I do invite you to do so, and you can do that by pressing 1 and coming into the queue. If not, what we're going to do now is one more time we'll go around, and I'm going to give everybody an opportunity, if you will. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to have closing remarks on this this topic that we have tonight, BAM, be a mentor. And my question is going to be prefaced to you in terms of how and why we do need more mentors across the country, as this is prevalent across the country. It's just not only in St. Louis. It's not only just in East St. Louis. I'm aware that it's prevalent across the country, major cities, small cities. It doesn't matter. And particularly where, and we can't not only say now, because I think it was Aleem or one that said earlier, this is just not only an African-American problem or issue or dilemma that we're confronted with, but it's even more prevalent amongst other ethnic group of people and all. So I'm going to ask you for your closing remarks of what you would like to leave the radio listening audience with. And also, I'm going to ask one of you to give the information how you can be contacted, email address, or any other form in terms of being contacted. Hopefully that somebody may have gotten inspired or motivated out there and may want to know how you start an organization like this, and may just want to get some information from any or all of you in terms of maybe starting something like BAM in their own locale. I'm going to start with you, Aleem. Shadid, I'm going to start with you in terms of giving you, say, 2 minutes for your closing remarks that you would like to leave with our radio listening audience. Brother Aleem.
Yes, I'd like to say thanks, God, for life, and I hope and pray that someone that heard something that would help them, and I hope someone that in your own community, your own neighborhood, your own family, reach out to that person that you thought you're going to give up on, and don't give up on your children. Love them. Cherish them and listen to them. Don't be a big head and not be able to hear what they're trying to tell you. Because if you're listening, they'll tell you what they need. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Boy, it's excellent closing remarks, you know. And, you know, when you were saying that, I was just thinking, you know, oftentimes as parents, we want our children to listen to us, you know. But we have to listen to them, and we have to invest time. You know, sometimes they'll catch you at your busiest time or hour, but we should never say to our children, especially when our children are very young, and Allah has put a natural curiosity in them to want to know. You're the first person that they'll go to. They'll come to their mother. They'll come to their father, and they ask him question what, when, where, and why, and how. And we don't have time for them. Or we tell them the worst thing we can do is, I use the acronym DAMN, don't ask me nothing. Go somewhere and sit down. Ask too many questions. Go watch television. No, we don't want to do that with our children. If you're busy, say to your son, say to your daughter that you are busy right now. But maybe we can talk about that after dinner, or maybe you can talk about it during dinner. And it may be a benefit to the rest of the members of the family, too. You want to find ways and opportunity to invest time and quality time to be able to listen to your children, as Brother Aleem said, but also to be able to communicate with your children. This is how they know that you really do love and care for them. So thank you so much, Brother Aleem, for your closing remarks. And now we want to go to you, Rashid Salam, and give you 2 minutes for what would you like to leave the radio listening audience with tonight? You got 2 minutes, Brother okay. Rashid Salam.
Okay, Mark, I just want to say to those who are listening to begin to organize within your own general community, with your neighborhood association, with your church or masjid or temple or your association, whether it be a nonprofit organization or a sorority or a fraternity, to begin to just think in terms of what can we do to begin to take some steps forward. And if you want to know what we're doing and our growing process that we're in right now, you can always call me at 650-669-0458. That's 650-669-0458. Structuring, organizing is what we're going to have to do. We recognize the problems, and we can't change everything overnight, but we can start locally. We can start on our block. We can start with our organizations that we're affiliated with. And what we need to do is think in terms of how can we save that child. One child at a time is all it takes, and one child knows 10 children. So the impact that we can have on one is way beyond our imagination. So my focus would be for anyone who's interested, start at home. Start with yourself, because if you haven't committed to help someone else, there's no sense in you trying to talk to one of our children or one of the children out there. You have to make a commitment to yourself. As Salim was saying, that you have to be sincere in your heart. And you have to, you know, really want to do these types of things and leave everything out the door, because I know some things that he's done for some of the children already. But structure, organizing, it's the same thing we got to do when it comes time to voting. It's the same type of concept we need to do when it comes to our time to take care of our children. Get involved in your community. Know what your community is like. You know the neighbor next door. You know the kid down the street who stands on that corner. Who is his mother? Who is his father? So it starts with neighborhood organization, and then we can step out from there. But we can provide some tools and resources and some information at 650-669-0458. Be a mentor. Help someone.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, man. And I'm glad that you sent that message, invitation, you know, out, because sometimes people want to do something. They just don't know how to get started, you know. So you already have this. And by the way, I know one question that I should have asked, and, you know, I don't know if you all have gotten to the point where you formulated a 501c3, but I would say that if you haven't evolved to that point, I think that would be also a goal, because sometimes people want to support and help, and they want to donate to a worthy cause. I know I would donate toward that, and I'm quite sure there's others that would want to donate toward that. And I understand it now, as the Brother Aleem is saying, you can't be motivated, you know, by money. But there is maybe, say, material that you might want to run off to give the young people when you go and make presentations and have Q&As with them, something for keepsake, that they can actually go back and review some of those things that you're saying. And of course, that costs money, because you're listening sometimes to a very large audience. And all. So I'm just only just saying that's something food for thought for you all. Last but not least, Imam Eskia, what would you like to leave the radio listening audience with before we close out this session on the MGM Roundtable? You got 2 minutes too, Brother Imam.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Going over something that was shared before, Brother Aleem shared, and also supported by Brother Rashid, is don't condemn, not to be condemning to the point that it'd be internalized by the student or the students or the young people. I've heard things because we get hurt by seeing what's taking place in society, but when we express only the anguish of how bad things have gotten, the young mm-hmm. people are listening to us. They're listening to us, and they hear hopelessness when we're sharing that. We should be aware of the optimism. So the condemning don't have to be to a personality. It can be to the issue in general. We should always show the light opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, one of the things that allow us to know the reality to express this hardship are that we know of circumstances where people have been taken advantage of, because there are those persons that, as let's say you are a swimmer trying to, like a lifeguard, trying to help a life. One of the things mm-hmm. for the lifeguard to do is not get drowned him or herself trying to help someone. They will drown you. Certain persons will. So once we have to be cautious that, yes, there are people that are not grateful and that will exploit. And what happens to protect that is if you have more than yourself, as we, our brothers that you have here with us sharing, we have communicated with each other on students that seem to have a tendency to have excuses all the time, and even put teachers that were good-hearted but put them in danger by asking them to meet them at places at night. No really ill will on that student's part, but you're not thinking mm-hmm. of the safety of that teacher that you invited to help you in that area. You are not equipped to protect her when you're not around, so we would have to admonish them, no, you went too far in that way. So I would mm-hmm. like to just go over these last things that I was looking at regarding mentors, is that we I heard Imam Muhammad said it more than once, and I kept it as a foundational in the presentation, is to let persons and students and people know that they have already within them the potential and the ability to excel that is in their environment, and those persons that might be negative in their environment. They already have within themselves the potential to excel their environment. And then the other is, what are they interested in? What are your mm-hmm. interests? When we inquire, it was a brother that was robbing on Bi-State on the Illinois and Missouri side, young guys. And he had his cousin yep. in the seventh grade. I think he was in the maybe the eighth grade himself, or either lower grade. And really, he was robbing just to help his mother, because they didn't have resources, because the people on the on the Metrolink didn't have no money. But he had a talent. And after he got off of probation, we saw his talent was in his communication and his rap. I heard something said that can be perceived as that was a negative, but actually that expression has brought a lot of people into, young people into seeing themselves and expressing and directed in a positive way. So anyway, what is it they're interested in? And lastly, how might what you're interested in benefit individuals, family, or mm-hmm. the community? And now that's the world. How others in the world might benefit from what that student is interested in, and encouraging that aspect of it. So I conclude with that, and thank you for inviting me, and thank you for your show. And I thank Bam for coming over in my backyard. I'm still associated with him, but I'm not the one to give you all information about what's going on. I'm on the team. I'm one of the ones on the bench. When you need me, put me in the game.
Okay, so they can always call on you and need a pinch hitter, you come off the bench. Okay, so no, this is beautiful. This is excellent. Thank you so much, Imam Miskia, and what it is that you said really has resonated with me as well as the radio listening audience. What all of you said really can make a great impact. Want to just ask this question, do you have an email that you have established yet? And if not, I know it's relatively a new organization, and when I heard about it and I heard about the work, and I've been familiar with the work that Imam Eskia have been doing for years and years and years, but to know that you have formulated an organization, I would say or recommend that you have at least an email so that you have a means of communication. People want to communicate with you. As social media now, this is the way that a lot of people do communicate. They can ask a question, and then you can respond back to them. So please get together and formulate an email where people can contact you and provide information, because where we experience success in one area, we can also experience success in another area. And when we understand this way of life of ours, which is Al-Islam, Allah tells us, after establishing regular prayer, Allah says, and spend out of what it is that we have provided for you. And as I listen to all three of you tonight, Allah has provided you with much that you can give and help in helping others where there's been a big void in their life that they're not responsible for. But still and yet, as Imam Iskia has said, that's a profound statement that Imam Muhammad has given, letting the human being know that the potential that Almighty God has given to them can excel the situation, circumstances, conditions that they actually live in, you know. And Allah has even given us imagination, that acronym. It inspires motivation and great ideas and negates all the influences of negativity. I'm going to say that again. This is from the Creator. You know, when the Imam said what he said, this is giving hope to those who seemingly would be hopeless. Imagination, you know, and I would hope that when you all go into the school system to let them know that this is a gift that Almighty God has given to them that inspires motivation and great ideas and negates all the influences of negativity. So in other words, they could be being brought up in what is termed as the hood, but they don't have to become the hoodlum. You understand? And they need to understand something about manhood, fatherhood, womanhood, motherhood. They need to understand something about that. And then they need to understand that they have a responsibility for reestablishing the neighborhood. You see, because we don't have manhood, we don't have womanhood, we don't have fatherhood, motherhood, and we don't even have childhood anymore, then we can't have neighborhood, you see. And so we need to be able to talk to our young people that they have a role and they have a responsibility, but they have to be equipped. And some of the things that you all are doing that I'm hearing is helping to equip these young people, and notably the African-American, in terms of taking their place in terms of exercising true freedom, the freedom to be responsible for yourself, your family, and your community, and really at the world at large. So I want to thank all of you for accepting my invitation and coming on. I really appreciate it. You've given so much very substantive and enlightening, and I think motivational and inspirational information tonight. It makes me want to even do more. And if I can be a help or assistance, I most certainly would be. And I want all of you to know you have an open invitation here on IWDM, here on this particular platform, the MGM Roundtable. And please keep me posted. You know, as you work with these young people, don't think that they don't value and appreciate that, what it is that you're doing. Because, as I said earlier, children don't care how much you know until they know how much you really, truly care. So thank you once again, my brothers, and may Allah continue to bless you and us. And hopefully our radio listening audience, they was very quiet tonight. A little unusual, but very quiet tonight. Maybe just taking it all in. Hopefully you got them to begin to start thinking, what is it you can do? What is it you can do in your neighborhood? What is it you can do in your community? How can you make a difference? You see, we're going to be judged by the deeds that we do, so we might as well send forth some good deeds ahead of us, because we won't be able to get our life alive. And so you want it to be said that you tried to make a difference in somebody's life. Thank you so much, my dear brothers. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you.
Alhamdulillah. So there you have it. This is the conclusion of the MGM Roundtable for the night, and IWDM broadcasting tonight. As you heard earlier, the first hour, it was the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our special guest facilitator. Although he was late and he was very apologetic, even though he's a judge, I guess I won't sentence him to a no return. He might be listening tonight. He might give me some time. So I'm really loud. But I love Judge Joe Brown. We established a friendship over the years. Matter of fact, he even told me, when you come through Memphis, give me a call, come by and see me. You know, as he says in that southern drawl that he has, he's a good brother. And he's done some mentoring. For those of you who don't know, he's done some mentoring to help to deter our young people that are misguided and misdirected in leading them in the right direction and all. So I want to thank him for coming on. I want to thank our radio listening audience for being attentive for both of these productions tonight. Our special guest on the round table, Imam Eskia Hamid, Brother Aline Shadid, and also Rashid Salam Doubling as my engineer tonight for coming on and being a part of this very distinguished, esteemed panel and the substantive information that they disseminated tonight. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Rashid Salam for being an engineer and thank the radio listeners, because without you, there would not be IWDM Radio and most certainly these productions that you hear each and every week here. It would not be possible. So I want to say that the beat goes on here at IWDM Radio, as tomorrow it would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. Joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And then the day after that, it's Salatu Jumu'ah across the whole Muslim world. And if you're immobilized and can't get out and about to your local masjid or your Islamic center, we do invite you to come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, longtime resident Imam Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And Salatu Jumu'ah begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production that we have on IWDM Radio, once again, with Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People, as Imam Sahir always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. As last week, he had the committee there treat to New Medina, Mississippi. I didn't get an opportunity to go this year. I'll be looking to go next year. So they have guests like that, so please tune in. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon. It's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, we have the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is a learning lab. You need to bring your pen and your paper a whole lot of different terminology in terms of learning about the science of your health and also you. So we ask that you tune in for that, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, as they are on the 11 systems that comprise the human body. So you want to tune in for that. And so that brings us back to tonight, each and every Wednesday night, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, my very distinguished esteemed co-host, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, followed by the MGM Roundtable, which you just heard, as we have a very distinguished panel on tonight with us. And look for a very special guest next week. You don't want to miss it. I know who he is, but I'm going to keep it a surprise because I want you to tune in and listen in. That begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Want to just say, you know, stay tuned to IWDM Radio Update with our beloved sister and my good friend, Fitcher Muhammad, as Study Al-Islam will make its return on June 12th. And all we'll have information in regards to that. Last but not least, we want to say that IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Drum, my good sister and friend, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa. Will be on and everything. And so we ask that you do get a subscription and also buy a subscription. A subscription, it is a prescription, a subscription for others in your area. So with that being said, this alarm is for you and yours. So until next time, we're going to ask you, you understand, that you have to be alert and alive and conscious. So we're going to close out with Eddie Pendergrass.
Wake up, all doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Assalamu alaikum.